Let's pray this morning. Father, there's no greater truth than knowing that one day you will take us home to be with you. Life may have its storms. The song reminds us that our ship may even be embarked and even try to be taken over by water, but I thank you, Lord God, that you're the captain of the ship. I thank you that you rise up and yell to the storms, "Peace, be still." And even when we are caught in the midst of what seems to be an insurmountable problem, yet, Lord, you've never left us and never forsaken us. We trust your promise. Your promise is that you will lead us safe to shore, heaven's shore. We're grateful this morning, O Lord, for allowing us this wonderful privilege to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our relationship with you is what strengthens our bond here at Grace Community Church. Not only do we have it in common that you and you alone are worthy of offering and praise, but it is you and you alone who has saved us by your grace. And we want to say thank you. We thank you for our fathers that we have here in our congregation. We pray, O God, that this would be a special day for them. A day, O Lord God, where they will look over their family and praise you for the position that they have, knowing full well that the leading of our families, not just from a position of fatherhood, but also from a position that under Christ, not just being the head of the house, but being the servant of our house. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to serve our wives and our children. Thank you for the privilege you've given to us to lead them. And I pray today, O God, that this day of Father's Day would be a day of remembering that all of us have the greatest Father of all, the one who provides and keeps, the one who protects, the one who prepares, and the one we all long to see, our great Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for who you are. Help us this morning, O Lord, to garner from your word tidbits of truth. We won't be able to swallow the whole thing because time won't let us do that. But it is good to be reminded in your word of your grace that is sufficient. So help us this morning, O Lord, to speak clearly. Help us, O Lord, to speak rightly. Help us, O Lord, this morning to lead people to you. And we'll be careful to praise you and thank you in your name. Amen. There have been a couple of times when I've been down in the kitchen of the church, and I hear this banging against a window, thinking that it was an acorn or something dropping from one of the trees. I didn't pay much attention until it was very persistent. So I looked behind me, and here was this beautiful cardinal trying his best to crash through a window. I don't know why he was doing that. I mean, there are plants that are on the upper shelves or top of the cabinets there, maybe thinking that there's some food there. I don't know, but consistently, this cardinal is trying to accomplish something that is impossible for him to do. I don't know why. Maybe he's trying to look for a shortcut to his next meal. That I don't know. But there he is. He's bam, bam, bam. Then pretty soon he gets the idea and goes another way. But even this morning, I'll go down and get a glass of water. Bam, bam, bam. I said, "Bird, either you don't get it, or something is, he needs a checkup from the neck up." Sometimes we're like that. We're like that cardinal. We will beat our head against a window that we think offers for us an answer to a problem. We may be looking at it as the old adage is, the grass always looks greener on the other side until you find out that it's astroturf. Or we may be looking for a shortcut through the problem. I mean, when you look around the world, we see issues that are surrounding us. We see the LGBT movement. We see the other things that individuals riot in the streets over. And then it seems that our judicial system seems to be more tender toward their needs than those who are upright. We may even have asked ourselves the question, where is the God of justice? That's not a new question, because that is the question that is asked in our text this morning of Malachi chapter 2. We're going to be reading from chapter 2, verse 17, down through chapter 3, verse 6, dealing with the question, where is the God of justice? Last book of the not-so-New Testament, Malachi, chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for punishment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Lord, this morning, would you take your word And those areas that we lack, would you fulfill? The thoughts that are gone from us, I pray that you would restore. The image of Christ that we are to put on and live through, may we be strengthened in it. May your word have its way in our lives this day. For we will praise you and thank you in the matchless name of Christ. Amen. Before we begin, I want to just quickly draw your attention to chapter 4. In chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "Behold, for behold, the day is coming, burning like a fire or an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, there that they leave neither root nor branch." You'll notice that in verse 3, he's called a refiner's fire. He's not called a consuming fire. He's not referred to as a forest fire or an incinerator fire. Those other fires have with them the purpose of complete destruction. Forest fires, incinerator fires, consuming fires leave nothing in their wake, yet total destruction. A refiner's fire is different. The one thing that we have is a season, verse 6, where it says that this particular fire is not a consuming one, because the Lord God says in verse 6 of chapter 3, "But I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So there is a difference in this particular fire. The question is, where is the God of justice? And throughout this week, I've asked myself the question, do I really want the justice of God? Do I really want God, in all of his righteousness and justice, to pour out on this world his fire? I think what we see in this particular passage, though it is not shown, it's not read, we didn't see the word anywhere, but yet in the midst of the refining fire, you have two things. You have the grace of God, and you have the mercy of God. Because a refiner fire is for a purpose of cleansing and strengthening and purifying. We see in this particular passage, as we have been walking through the book of Malachi, that things were not right in the city of Jerusalem. The high priests and the priesthood was not doing what they were supposed to do. In fact, God even condemned them by saying, "Your offerings mean nothing to me." We looked last week at dealing treacherously as they were, and the five things that happens in dealing treacherously with individuals. But today it's, where is the God of justice? You'll notice in chapter 3, verse 1, that there are three different individuals that are being referred to here. The first one, it says, "But I, behold, I." Who is that one that is I? Well, at the onset, we know that to be, as he was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I am that I am. Translated in scriptures as Jehovah, when in reality it should be translated Yahweh. I am that I am. Or as we've referred to it, I be who I be. Behold, I says, send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Who's this messenger? Easy to come about and understand who the messenger is, because in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 and verse 76, John the Baptist is referred to as the messenger. In fact, that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 10, after he hears, or after John the Baptist sends to him some of his disciples and says, are you the promised one, or should we look for somebody else? And Jesus said to them, go back to John the Baptist and tell him, the lame walk, the blind see. He's referring to himself. Jesus is referring to himself as, yes, I am the one. And then after those disciples of John the Baptist leave, John begins to comment about the greatness of John the Baptist. And Jesus says to his people, he says, this is the voice. He's the one that's referred to in the scriptures, which is Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. He will prepare the way before me. In Luke's gospel, he is referred to as the one, the crying of the wilderness, but he also has the power, with the power of Elijah. Then the third person. For it says, and the Lord whom you seek. What's interesting is that it's different than the beginning of verse 1, where it says, behold, I. Now he's referred to as the Lord. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. In the transition, God is telling Malachi that the Lord whom you seek is different than the one who is speaking. What we see wonderfully in this passage, and if you go over quickly, you're going to miss it. We see the eternality of the Godhead. He's referring to Jesus Christ. The reason I believe that you can come to that understanding is this, is because God the Father did not say, and I whom you seek, I will come to my temple. He says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. It's different in the Hebrew. The Lord here referring to Jesus Christ. But he's coming to do a work. Refiner's fire. I'm not a studier of metals, but all I know is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, when he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though be tried by fire, that it may be found pleasing at the return of Jesus Christ. We are living in the moments of refiner's fire, dear people. Let me give you the theological term. It's called sanctification. Refiner's fire comes in a number of different ways. But always, never for destruction, only for building up and for purifying the saints. One of the ways all of you have already been experienced, I'm sure, if not even just this week, but not too long ago, we have trials, don't we? James tells us not to draw away from these trials, because the purpose in them is that we would be purified. In John's epistle, the 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John even says, those who have this hope in them, in the hope of Jesus Christ coming back again, he says, purifies themselves even as he is pure. And so the process of refiner's fire is for purification. In my quick study of trying to understand what that means, all I can tell you is this, is that in order for gold to be more costly, is that it must be put in a furnace and melted. And what comes to the top are the impurifications, the dross, which is called. And it is there that the metallurgist, I learned that word, metallurgist will take and he will scoop off that dross. And then the gold is then re-poured back into forms so that it becomes even more pure than when it went into the furnace, and it becomes more valuable to whoever purchases it. The refiner fire that's referred to here in Malachi chapter 3 is for the purpose of purifying the sons of Levi. Why? That their offerings may be righteous. Now, before you wipe the sweat from your brow thinking that this does not refer to you, let me again remind you the words of 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, you are a royal priesthood. We are priests. We, as even in ourselves, have the glorious, wonderful task of presenting ourselves as living sacrifices unto God. Sometimes those sacrifices need to be purified in order that what we do give to God is the best of ourselves. Have you found that in your journey of trials and testings, that God brings to your memory, brings to the forefront, if you will, something that he wants you to get rid of? It may be just a minor thing, but maybe a huge thing. But in it, what God wants from us is that he would allow trials and temptations, the refiner's fire, if you will, to rise in us dross that he will wonderfully desire to skim off, that we become even better for him. Can I give you an example? My dad, whom none of you here have met, there's only been two other people in this congregation who've ever met my dad, and that's my wife and my daughter. When my dad came to that place in his life when he trusted Jesus Christ, in a matter of a few hours, after being a 3-pack-a-day smoker, God skimmed the dross. It was over. But what he wrestled with was a fit of anger. periodically through trials, that anger would surface. And God would graciously remove that dross. To the point that my dad turned from being a very violent individual to an individual that just by grace he was able to sit back and say, "Thank you, Lord." That's what the refiner's fire does. The crux of this passage is this. Is don't turn back from it. Notice the list that God says that he will come and judge in verse 5. He says, "I will be a swift witness against sorcerers." What's interesting about that word sorcerers is we've seen it before in the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation, the translation of that English word from the Greek comes from the word that we use as pharmaceutical. Drug abusers. And we saw in the book of the Revelation of our study that God's judgment is coming against those who will not give up their drugs, sorcerers. He also says, "I will come near and be a swift witness against adulterers." Then he says, "I will be a swift witness against the perjurers." Then against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. But the last one is even more scathing, for it says, "And against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me." These particular life situations, Malachi is saying, are prevalent with you people. Well, they're here. I'm glad that the justice of God has not yet come. That there is still time. An individual this morning, we were talking in the foyer and we were commenting upon the events that surround us. Certain things that as we see in the news or hear about where we have a tendency to rile up and bristle up our righteous indignation. We become like the sons of thunder, James and John, who say, "Call down fire from heaven and consume that city." And that's what we would like to have done. But I'm sure glad God hasn't done that yet, aren't you? His grace and mercy is still available. I don't know where you are in your position with the Lord, but I doubt if any of these particular lists here refer to you. I don't think that this list here is exhaustive in any aspect, but it does draw our attention to the fact that this side of glory, we're not yet perfect. Amen? And there still are things in our lives that trials and refiner's fire have a way of bringing to the top. I forgot to mention another thing. He's also a launderer's soap. A refiner's fire. Launderer's soap. In the good King James, it says Fuller's soap. I don't know if that's a brand or not. I've never seen it on the shelves of the stores. But one is for refining The other is for cleansing. I'm glad the Holy Spirit does that to us, aren't you? I'm glad that He's willing to cleanse us. I am so glad that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This particular passage in the book of Malachi, very prevalent for their time, but yet still powerful for ours, draws our minds to the attention that I am sure glad that God is in the business and desires to make us better than what we are. It's a journey that, in the realm of sanctification, it's a journey that will never end. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you will become. It's a constant journey, as Paul relates to us in Romans chapter 8, that we become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And in that, we can present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. One last comment before we leave this passage is this. And I suspect we should have an amen. Verse 6. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I am so glad that our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is founded upon the promises of God that He never changes. And He loves us that much that He will never discard us from His family. All by grace through faith. The refiner's fire, the fuller's soap are for our good. Take advantage of being changed here in order that you won't have to give an answer there. Let's pray. Father, You are so good. I thank You that You don't change. I know that there will be a day when You will be a consuming fire, but right now You are a refiner's fire. A time of knowing full well that in Jesus Christ and in the power that lives within us, You desire the best. So You put us through situations of life that You draw our attention of things that You desire that we would lose in order that we might gain. Purify us, O God. May the trials, tribulations that may very well come, may they draw our hearts and our minds to You. And may our lives become pure. All for Your honor and for Your glory. We thank You, our good Father. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.